In Matthew chapter 5, verse 10, this is the seventh beatitude that Jesus did preach. He said, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Today is the second week that we talk about persecution. Persecution is not a well-known word in America. Someone said that America is a Disneyland of the world. We don't understand the word persecution. Some of us know prosecution, but not a lot of us know persecution. Thank God for that, we live in a majority Christian nation, although it's changing really quick. But around the world, people all over experience persecution on a daily basis. I want to give you statistics that every year about 165,000 Christians are murdered for their faith. That's one Christian every 3 minutes. In Nigeria, in Afghanistan, in Pakistan, I'm planning a trip in October to Pakistan to go and do evangelism. If God wills, I will go there. But people around the world are being killed, beheaded for their faith. Jesus said this, "Blessed are the persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Verse 11, "Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kind of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Persecution is a reality for a Christian. A lot of us, we go to church and we think, what can God do for me? And you know, God will do a lot for you. And if you look at your life, if you truly serve Jesus for any amount of time, 6 months, a year, 5 years, if you look back, your life will be so much different. But you know what? There's also a factor of what can you do for Christ? Will you stand when time comes for your faith and not deny Christ? That's the question. You know, the disciples of Jesus were all persecuted. Can I read you a little bit about the history of the disciples of Jesus and what happened to them? How many of you know Simon Peter, the disciple of Jesus? Nero crucified him head down. Actually, they were going to crucify him like Jesus. They said, "You believe in this Christ? Well, you want to die like him? Deny him and you can live." And Peter said, "There is no way I'm going to deny him." So they said, "We're going to crucify you just like him." And he said, "I'm not worthy to be crucified like him. Turn me upside down." So they said, "Okay." And they crucified him upside down. Andrew, Peter's brother, was severely scourged and tied by a rope to an X-shaped cross. So this way, X-shaped cross, and hung for 2 days until he expired. You think following Jesus is just all what he can do for you? There's a cost to follow Jesus. Amen? That happened in Edessa, Greece. James, beheaded with a sword in Jerusalem by King Herod. John, his brother, went to Turkey and was thrown into the boiling oil. You know John, the one who wrote the book of Revelation, was thrown in the boiling oil and it had no effect on him. So they pulled him out and exiled him to the island of Patmos. And that's where he died. Philip was crucified in Syria. Bartholomew went to Armenia because they all went to preach the gospel, was beaten, flayed, and crucified head down. Thomas, lanced by idolatrous priest and burned up in the oven. I know some of this is too hard to take, but it's a real thing. And you know what? The more you search about persecution, the more you'll seek persecution deniers. They'll say, they really weren't persecuted. It's like Holocaust deniers. There was no Holocaust. Yeah, there was. It's when you hate so much the idea that people died for their faith and they stood for something that you deny it so vehemently. But it was true. Let me see. Matthew, the tax collector that wrote book of Matthew for us, axed to death in Ethiopia. James, half-brother of Jesus, thrown from the temple tower, but did not die, so he was clubbed to death at age 94. Jude, crucified. Simon the Zealot, crucified. Judas Iscariot, you know what happened to him? Self-inflicted. Matthias, stoned and beheaded. And Paul, the apostle, beheaded. And Jesus says this, "Blessed are the persecuted." Blessed means happy. Happy are the persecuted. And it's like, are you for real, Jesus? That's not something I want to look forward to. When you say, blessed are the meek, okay, God, I understand. I want to be meek. Blessed are the humble, blessed are the peacemakers, okay, I can follow that. But blessed are the persecuted, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I want to be happy to be stoned to death like Paul was. So what do you mean, Jesus, blessed are the persecuted? Well, obviously, he knew what he was saying because he was the one who died on the cross. He was persecuted as well. Not everyone who is persecuted is blessed. Listen to what it says. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Not everyone who is persecuted is blessed. Okay? Let me just bring it to the lighter note. Not everyone who is persecuted is blessed. Number one, being a jerk at work or in school does not count to be the persecution for Jesus. You're just an obnoxious person. You gossip and then your lies finally caught up to you. And so you say, I'm persecuted because I'm a Christian. No, that's not how it works. When your boss says to you, you can't read your Bible during working hours. You got to work. I hire you to work. Because a lot of we got super spiritual Christians, right? They go to work and then they finally, and that's just laziness. They go to work and then they open their Bible. Oh yeah, look at me. And then when the boss says, hey, you better put it away. Or you turn your sermon so loud, people can't hear. You know, that's not persecution. You got to be tactful. Now, if you were reading the Bible at your lunch break and your boss said, you better put that away. Or if you wear a cross and somebody says, hey, you better put that away. You can wear a skull. You can wear anything else. You can wear occultic jewelry. But if you wear a cross, no, no. You know, that happens in England right now. You cannot wear a cross anymore. They're so tolerant now there. You know, it's coming to America pretty soon. But that's different. But if you're working and you're supposed to work and you're reading the Bible, well, that's not persecution, okay? Being lazy at work and then being called for it is not persecution. Another one I wanted to give you, what's not the persecution? It's not persecution when people disagree with you on how you interpret the Bible. Some of you just cannot debate. You get so angry. And when you lose or when you don't know your Bible, you start saying, I got persecuted for Jesus. No, you need to know your Bible if you're going to get into big debates. Now, it doesn't mean you shouldn't talk about Jesus till you know everything, because nobody knows everything. But it's not persecution when you disagree with somebody. That's just disagreement, okay? And maybe people don't understand like you do. Being persecuted and prosecuted is totally different things. Jesus said, the only persecution that's blessed is for righteousness' sake. For righteousness' sake. So what does it mean to be persecuted for righteousness' sake? Righteous persecution is when you choose to be obedient to the word of God rather than any other system of the world. And you get persecuted for that. So let's say at work, your boss says, why don't you cook the books a little bit? Why don't you make it right for the IRS? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? And you say, no, I can't do that. So you get fired for that. That's persecution for righteousness. It's when you say, I'm going to follow what God says and not what man says. Amen? It's when you choose to follow Jesus instead of following the world. That's what it means. Persecution for righteousness' sake. It's when you choose to live an honest, peaceful, righteous life and you get persecuted for that. Point number two, why do believers get persecuted? You want to know? I want you to open to Luke 16:13. If you have your notes or your phones, write this down. Luke 16:13. Let's read it together. No servant can serve two masters, right? For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Interesting scripture. Jesus said this, you will love one or the other. You will love one and hate the other. Can I make a statement that's going to be very uncomfortable right now? You can't love God and the world. You will either love God and hate the world, or you will love the world and hate God. That doesn't click in with me. Hate? What do you mean hate the world? Not the people. Not the people. Listen to me. The system. The world system, the way the world does things compared to the way God says to do things. And I'm going to give you a few examples. When you love something, what happens? You defend it vehemently. Isn't that correct?
So if you love God, what do? You defend God, right? Some of you are scared to say God even on Facebook. You stay away from anything God. Listen to this. You will love the one, and whatever we love, we fight for, we defend. And the best defense is offense. When our God or if our idol gets attacked, what do? We attack back, right? Don't you dare talk about my idol like that. Don't you dare talk about my whatever my idol is like that. Amen? Making sense? Come on, talk to me a little bit. So whatever you love, you defend. If you love God, you defend God. Not that God needs any defense, although Bible says defend your faith. Yeah. Sometimes our arguments will not convince people to believe in Jesus. So some people say, why do we even argue with unbelievers about our faith if it's not going to convert them? You know why? You defend your faith so you don't get converted to their side. If somebody came to your house and attacked your kids, wouldn't you defend them? Yeah, you would. You have to learn how to defend your faith. And for that, you'll be persecuted. If you're quiet with your faith, if nobody knows you're a Christian, most likely you will not get persecuted. And we'll get to that in a little bit here. You will love the one or the other. What happens when the darkness and light meet? I'm going to ask you guys to turn off the lights and then turn them back on. I'm going to show you something. Now turn them on. You see how fast the darkness disappeared? Bible says this, that there's two worlds. There is kingdom of darkness and there is kingdom of light. Now we're asking, why do people get persecuted? Because two kingdoms clash. Bible says that we all live in darkness until we are rescued or found by the light of Jesus. We all live in darkness. We all live in sin and darkness. And what happens is, if when light comes, what do people do when they have been long time in darkness? What usually happens when light comes? They squint, right? They're uncomfortable. Give me the biggest quality sunglasses that you can find, because it's just, I can't see. And you can choose to say, I don't like the light. I hate the light. And guess what you're going to do? You're going to be, with all energy, persecute the light. But when light comes, the darkness is uncomfortable and it flees. Listen, I'm going somewhere with this. So the natural response to when your God or your idol is attacked is what? Defense. Attack back. Now, let me talk practically, okay? And again, uncomfortable. If you choose abstinence, if you choose to wait for marriage, right? Parents, we all want our kids to do that, right? Amen, right? If you choose abstinence in your life will be an attack on people who have this free sex desire, right? Even if you don't tell them anything, if you choose to be abstinent, by default, you will make people who choose free sex, free love, uncomfortable. Would you agree? And people who love their God of sex, because they love it, will automatically hate the God of the Bible. Do you see that? Even if you don't say nothing, you could get persecuted just with your actions. Do you know that now in high school, if you're a virgin, it's a bad thing? Some of you are snickering. Like, I can't believe he's talking about it. Yeah, I got to talk about this. If I don't, who will? I'm not going to teach you in college. They're too tolerant and diverse. Hallelujah. If you're a virgin in high school, you probably hide. You probably like, I'm not going to say if I am or not, because you don't want to be laughed at. And that's sort of a small persecution. If you choose sobriety, you say, I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to get drunk. I'm going to be sober. You will make those who love to get drunk uncomfortable, isn't it? Without saying a word. Why is it? Why is it that a person, and Andre, you would agree with me, you walk out of church and somebody walks out of the bar and they come to you and say, you think you're better than me? Huh? True story. That happens here. Come here at night for night service. You think you're better? I didn't say that. I didn't even talk to you. You think you're better than me? Why is it that a person, light and darkness meet and darkness squints? Right? And drunk people can't control their mouth really good, so they say what they feel. If you pursue self-control, your life will indict those who love loose living automatically. Why don't you do what we do? Well, I choose self-control. Well, that makes us feel bad about ourselves, and we don't like you. If you choose to live a simple and happy life, you will make people who love the luxury and love to show off very uncomfortable. Would you agree? They won't want to hang out with you. They'll talk like, hey, look at what he's wearing. Look at what she's wearing. Is that from Kmart? Because they think, I got to show off. I got to look this good. And this person doesn't look good and they're happy. Well, they look good, but not, you know, maybe name brand. And they're happy. If you choose to walk humbly, the people who live in pride, you will just indict people. Just by being humble, you automatically indict some people. You see what happened? We're talking about why do we get persecuted? Two system, world system and biblical worldview, they collide. And as Christians, we are told, love our enemies. But in the world, they don't have that principle. And people are always nice till you see what they write on blogs where their names are not written. And I'm surprised how hateful people are on forums. Just go on whatever news story you read, go down and read how hateful people are. If you are hardworking, you will expose a lazy person and they won't like you. If you are truthful, a liar will feel very uncomfortable in front of you. A friend of mine told me that a buddy of his called him and says, listen, I didn't come home last night. Can you tell my wife I was here? I was with you. Tell her. She'll believe. No, you weren't with me. So he says, F this and hand up. That's what happens. You choose to stand up for truth. You might lose some friends. If you speak with compassion and love, you will really irritate people who love to gossip. You know what he did? Did you know what she did? I really don't want to know. Maybe they just made a mistake. Oh, so now you're on their side, huh? You know how it goes. You've been there. If you choose not to use a foul language, it will convict people who do use bad language. And they won't like you just for that. They won't like you just for that because you don't cuss like them. You don't curse like them. Now we all got issues there, right? And we're working on it. By the grace of God, we're working on it. Not acting like we don't ever say a bad word. And I'm not acting like we never do all these things. Gossip and others and truth and lie. We're all there. So I'm not going to say to you, you guys are good. You're not. No, we all mess up. We all fall short. But that's why we have the blood of Jesus. That's why we come and say, God, forgive me. That's why every night before you go to sleep or every time you're reminded of something, you say, Lord, messed up. Forgive me. Help me next time do better. If you walk in love, people who are haters, people who use racial jokes, people who love to divide will not like you, will talk bad about you. I've had somebody said a racial joke in front of me. I'm like, that's not funny. Oh boy, you think you're better than us? Don't let anybody talk in front of you that you don't want to be talked like. Don't let anybody tell jokes in front of you. I saw a Facebook post. Somebody said, I know I got haters. But why were they comfortable talking to you about me? It was like, why were they comfortable telling you about it? Why were they comfortable enough hating about me to you? Were you agreeing? You gotta say, yeah. Oh, no, you won't. No, you won't talk like that in front of me. And when you choose to love and you choose to watch and walk in compassion, that's gonna rub some people the wrong way. But that's okay. Hallelujah. Somebody really got that one. Hallelujah. If you're spiritually minded, you by default will expose worldly minded people and they will not like you. So why do we get persecuted? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. You cannot serve God and the world. You cannot serve the kingdom of light and kingdom of darkness. You cannot serve God and Satan. You cannot do that, Bible says. Come on, people, it's time for us to choose the side. It's not enough to just say I'm a Christian because I was baptized when I was 2 or 1 or 2 months. Now is the time to make a decision. Hallelujah. 1 John 3:12. John talks about Cain and Abel. Let's read from the second phrase. And why did Cain murder Abel? Because his works were evil and his brothers were righteous. Why did Cain kill Abel? Because his works were evil and his brothers were righteous. Persecution started in the first family, in first two born sons, and it has existed since then. If you choose to live a godly life, 2 Timothy 3:12. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer
persecution.
Don't get surprised when you talk about your faith and people start hating on you. Just be ready for that. That's normal. Why are many people afraid of talking about their faith? Because of this reason. Persecution makes people awkward, uncomfortable. But Richard Dawkins said, famous atheist, agnostic, whatever, he said, if you really believed in hell, Christians, you would evangelize way better than you do right now. If you really believed in hell. Because if people are going there, if you really believed in hell. And Jesus talked about hell more than Old Testament talked about hell. Jesus believed in it. That's why he came to die so we don't go there. That place was not prepared for human beings. It was designed for Satan and his angels, not for people. And God doesn't want you to go there. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. So whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. But when you begin to tell people about Jesus, if you begin to share your faith, you will encounter resistance. Who will get persecuted? Number one is those who desire to live godly or righteous in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Now, if you're living like the world, why should they persecute you? If you do whatever the world does, why? You're one of them. So check, are you getting a little bit, at least, I know we're in America, so we don't get a lot of resistance, okay? Nobody's going to hate your Facebook post. There's not even a hate button there, right? If you're going to say something about Jesus, right? This is America. This is cool, all right? But even though in America, you'll feel the awkward spirit. Somebody will be looking at you, I don't like you. Someone will let you know that they don't like you because you're standing up for Jesus or for your faith. But if you really believe in hell, listen to me, then how dare we not tell people about Jesus? How dare we not? Hallelujah. So number one, who will get persecuted? All who desire to live a godly life will get persecuted. Number two, those who share the gospel will be persecuted. Listen, the world, even communists, they don't mind you living a secret Christian life. They don't mind that. They say, practice your faith at home. As long as you keep it private, as long as you don't talk about it, amen, the world will not mind. If you never talk about Jesus, most likely, you're not going to get persecuted. But then people will not get saved. So what do you want? Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself. And that means what? If you know your neighbor is going to hell because he does not know Jesus, the loving thing to do is to tell him about Jesus. Now remember, you don't save people. Don't be obnoxious. Don't force them into saying, I'm going to save you today. No, you don't do that. You share and let the Holy Spirit do the work. You don't force people. That's what they did in other ages. They would force you to accept certain religion. That never works. That's not godly. Bible says choose. Life, death, blessing, cursing, choose. Amen? Pastor Mark Driscoll said this. Jesus murdered. Peter murdered. Paul murdered. If you go public with your faith, it's probably not going to go well for you. But people will get saved and God will be glorified. People will get saved and God will get glorified. You cannot hear this message probably in another church today. I bet you. That's why you come here. Because I'll tell you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Right now there's a pastor in Iran, Pastor Saeed, being locked up in prison. He went from America. He lived here in America. And he went to there and started preaching and they locked him up. And it's been, what, 3 years, I think, or more, that he's been locked up for his faith. And you probably see it on Facebook. Please like those. So our government, our politicians will see that there's support for Pastor Saeed. If we see people who are getting persecuted, let's at least pray for them, number one. That's our brother in Christ. That's our sisters in Christ who get persecuted. Whenever we hear a story that a church been blown up and 80 people, 100 people died, let's pray for them at least. That's the least we can do. Let's cry about it. Let's ask God to have mercy, somehow do something. We just saw a story on a video. Did you like that video? Guys, did you like the video about China? Amen. That's our media department. Listen, if you want to be in the media department, little plug-in for the media, they find all those videos for us. They just bring them to me and say, hey, what do you think about this one or this one or this one? I'm like, this one made me cry, right? So this is true story. They want you to tell them who are the pastors of the churches. They want you to give away information, sign documents that you, and people who don't get really persecuted, beaten, and some of them never come out alive. This is serious. Look at the disciples. All of them were persecuted. They couldn't kill one because he wouldn't boil. And that was a miracle. John, it wasn't his time. Although some say that he was very scarred. But he wouldn't die. He wouldn't die. Listen. I know that if I preach psychology, if I become a motivational speaker, you know, preach half-truth. God loves you. Just the good stuff of the Bible. Just the good verses of the Bible. I know I might have more people in the church. But you know what? I'm not looking for fake conversions. I'm not looking for people who come and what can I get from God? God can satisfy me. If God can fit my gut, then I'm good. But I'm looking for people who are true disciples of Jesus Christ. God wants to raise up people who would stand up, who would be loving and firm in their faith, who will not be jerk and obnoxious Christians, who would work hard, be the best at what they do, raise their families in righteousness, lead their kids to the love of God, who will defend their faith. Hallelujah. I will not get persecuted for preaching. God loves you, brothers. Did you know that? And that God does love us, right? But if I start preaching the whole grace and truth, I'll get some haters once in a while. Not a lot, but once in a while. And I decided that I don't care. Bible says, blessed are the persecuted. If I can't talk about what Christ talks about in the Word, nobody else will. If you won't, trust me, the world won't. Hallelujah. Last point, should we seek this blessing on purpose of persecution? Should you go and find somewhere to get persecuted? Should you go and get in somebody's face and just say, believe in Jesus, woo, or die in hell. You might get punched in the throat. You're just way too close, and your breath stinks. No, you don't do that. Don't be obnoxious. That's not what we do. That's not what we do. God will give you the right words, the right timing, the right tact, everything to share your faith. And sometimes it will be over a period of years. Don't make it one-time thing. It could be 5 years before somebody comes to Christ. And maybe they'll come to Christ and go to a different church, and that's okay. And they don't have to go to your church, although we want them to come here. But remember, I used to use a phrase, don't evangelize, advertise. I want to take that phrase further because I think I matured, and I want to correct it. Evangelize, but if you're scared, at least advertised. The least you can do is advertise. What do I mean advertise? When you go to a nice restaurant, you tell somebody about it. So if you're not going to tell people about Jesus because you're a wimp, a little bit, or I'm a wimp, I got the same issues that you guys do, at least tell them, hey, come to my church. And here, the gospel will be preached. This pastor, it's crazy. He just preaches the word of God. Who does that? And they'll come here. And maybe they'll hear the word of God. And maybe God will touch them. Because we pray for you every Friday. We pray for everyone who comes here every Friday. And maybe you will accept Christ. And maybe you get tired and say, I'm tired of the world. All it is lies and lies and lies. The world promises you big things, but lies. I'm going to trust Christ. So did Jesus said to us, go find somewhere where you get persecuted? No, he didn't say that. Peter didn't go and look to be arrested. Paul didn't go and look to be arrested. But when you talk about your faith, you will get persecuted. And Jesus says, blessed are you, happy are you when you get persecuted. Peter, Paul, and Silas were beaten, whipped, had bruises, not just bruises, broken bruises on their body. They throw them in prison, and they start singing and saying, thank you, Lord, that we were able to be persecuted for your name. Hallelujah. Some of you are like, whew. So the message is, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to share your faith, even if you're not perfect yet. A lot of times Satan will say, you got to be perfect. You got to get your own life in order to share faith. No, because it's by grace we have been saved. It's a gift. Salvation is a gift. You don't work for it. You don't become better and then you are saved. No, you're saved and then God makes you better. Then Christ makes you better. So if anything, today I want to encourage you to be bold with your faith in school, at work. If you're a believer, of course. Now, if you're not a believer, I'm encouraging you to give your life to Christ today. He loves you. He gave his life for you. He came here to save us. And listen, all of us are sinners. How many lies have I told in my life? What does that make me? A liar. Have I stolen everything? Have you stolen anything in your life? What does that make you? A thief. And God has this moral law, 10 commandments. And most of us break most of them. And we're not worthy to be in the presence of holy,
perfect, pure God. Bible says nothing impure can stand in his sight. But Jesus came and on a cross, all the sins, not just from this room, not just for past, but also present and future, were put on him on a cross. And he paid for your sins. So you, when you come before a holy and righteous God, you says, God, I don't come in myself. I come in the righteousness and holiness and purity of Jesus. Somebody paid my debt. So judge is not mad at you. The judge loves you because you have no debt if you accept Christ. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this sermon. I believe that the words of Jesus spoke directly to your heart, and now you have an opportunity to respond. You can do that by praying a simple prayer. Jesus, save me, forgive me, and draw me closer to you. If you prayed this prayer, or if these messages had some impact in your life, would you consider sharing your testimony on our homepage? Your stories encourage others as we bring people closer to Jesus.